And right now, as we prepare to open up the Word of God, I ask that you would please bow your heads as I kneel for a word of prayer. Father, we want to say again, thank you. Lord, that breath of life that you breathed into Adam is still causing the hearts of man to beat daily. What an awesome and powerful God you are. And Father, I'm but dust, I am unworthy. And Father, I continually humble myself, saying, Lord, please use me, Father, to speak to your people, to encourage, to rebuke, to exhort, to lead and guide by your word and by your spirit, Father. Lord, I pray, God, that we would hear what the Spirit of the Lord has to say to the church. I pray a blessing over the ears of every listener that is in this place and that is listening abroad. But Father, your words may be heard very clearly. And Father, we ask God, please be with us now. In Jesus' name we pray. Thank God. Amen and amen. When I was a boy, there was an item, a specific item that many of you are familiar with. And I might even say all of us are familiar with, especially young men, older men, and little boys. You see, in 1932, there was a man by the name of Ole Kirk Christensen. Is anybody familiar with that name? Well, this man, he was a carpenter. And in 1932, he fell into hard times. And he had to close his business, his carpenting business. He told his wife that everything would be okay, but shortly after, his wife wound up dying as well. And here was Ole. Christensen was left with four sons. Well, he didn't want his sons to be bored, so he had to come up with something for them to do. So he had a lot of wood left over, being a carpenter. And so one thing he began to do was to make toys. He began to make toys for his sons, and he thought, you know what, why don't I do this as a profession? And so he began to build toys. Well, the toys began to not sell so well. And in 1934, he thought he needed to come up with a good name for his company. And he looked at a word, and it's called legat. And in the Danish language, that word means to play well. And as he meditated upon that word, he wondered, he said, the name has to be short, but it has to be catchy. Long story short, he came up with the name Lego. Is anybody familiar or has ever stepped on a Lego barefooted? Personally. At that time, what he did not know was the word Lego in Latin means I put together or I build. You're opening to the book of Amos, chapter 9. Amos, chapter 9, starting in verse 11. Amos, chapter 9, and verse 11. The word of God says, in that day will I raise up the tabernacle of David that is fallen and close up the breaches thereof. And I will raise up his ruins, and I will build it as in the days of old. Brothers and sisters, the question I present to you today is this. Are you ready to enter into the workforce of Jesus? Amen. Listen to the Apostle Paul as we now turn to the book of 1 Corinthians, and I'll try to talk slow. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Get there, please. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, beginning in verse 1, the word of God says, And I, brethren, cannot speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto what? Carnal. Even as unto babes in Christ, I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. Verse 3, for ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? For while one saith, I am Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? I want you to take note of that word carnal, because Paul mentions it multiple times. Going to verse number 8, it says, now he that planted and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. Verse 9, for we are, what is the next word, family? Laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. Amen. We are God's building or tabernacle. Now, we understand that the Bible, in context, speaks of the tabernacle in three different phases, we might say. In the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 19, the body is known as the temple of the Lord. In Exodus chapter 25 and verse 8, God tells Moses to build him a sanctuary, so we have an earthly tabernacle. And in Hebrews chapter 8, the Bible speaks of there being a heavenly tabernacle. Jumping to verse 10 of 1 Corinthians chapter 3. It says, according to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Paul says that he's a builder, but he does not say that he's any old builder. He says he's what kind of a builder? He is a wise master builder. See, there's a difference. You can be a builder, but we need a wise builder, amen? I don't want someone to build my house and I shut the door and the house fall down. I need someone with wisdom, amen? Paul says he's a wise master builder. Now, harking back in your Bible, the wise master builder, it sent my mind to Matthew chapter 25, speaking of the 10 virgins. You had 5 foolish and 5 wise virgins. Now, the wise virgins were carrying something. They had lamps, and in their lamps, they had what? They had oil. The lamp represents Psalm 119, 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And we understand that the oil from Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6 represents what? The Holy Spirit. So those in the last days who will be a part of God's contracted workers, one might say, will have to do so while walking and living with the Word of God in the Spirit by His Spirit. Amen? That is what consists of a wise master builder. You see, and what is this work? Paul mentioned it. What is this building? What is this that we are to do? You're turning in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 25. Chapter 21. Matthew chapter 21, not 25. Matthew chapter 21. Starting in verse 12. What is this work that we are to cooperate with Jesus in? Christ is the head foreman, amen? Matthew chapter 21, starting in verse 12. And the word of God says, and Jesus went into the temple of God and cast out all them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves. Verse 13. And said unto them, it is written, my house shall be called a house of what? Prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves. Here we see the work Paul mentions of that we had read earlier. What is it? The work is to take that which is carnal and turn it into something what? Spiritual. Did you get it? When Jesus came into the temple, it was filled with traffic. What word did I say? It was filled with traffic. Jesus noticed, begins, let's read that verse over. Matthew 21 and verse 12, it says, and Jesus went into the temple of God and cast out all them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves. Carnal. Anything of a carnal nature, Jesus cleaned it out of the temple. The next verse, verse 13, and said unto them, it is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer. And there is the spiritual he implants it with. Brothers and sisters, the work of God in this last day is to take carnal humanity and do the greatest miracle we will see ever done and make him spiritual. Brothers and sisters, this is amazing. Because when this work is done, the story tells us what takes place. Let's continue reading. Verse 14. And the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he did what? Healed them. Praise the Lord. You see, when this work is wrought, healing has come. And God's house is now considered a house where individuals can come in and receive healing as well. Verse 15. And when the chief priests and the scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying in the temple and saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, they were sore displeased. Verse 16. And said unto him, Hearest thou what they say? And Jesus saith unto them, Yea, have ye never read, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, thou hast perfected what? Praise. That word, perfected praise, should take your mind back to Revelation chapter 14, verses 6 and 7. Because in verse 7, that angel is saying, fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment has come. And what is the next word? And worship or perfect, guess what? Praise. But in order for this to take place, that which is carnal must be turned into something spiritual. And family, this is the greatest miracle ever done. We can get it going here. It says, the conversion of the human soul is of no little consequence. It is the greatest miracle performed by divine power. It says, unbelievers have inquired, why are not miracles wrought among those who claim to be God's people? Brethren, the greatest miracle that can be wrought is the conversion of the human heart. What greater evidence could men be given than they have had? What more could the Lord do than he has already done? Is not the conversion of the human heart the greatest miracle that can be wrought? This miracle has been wrought, but upon some hard hearts, it has left no impression. You see, I come to realize that one of the reasons many do not believe in the teaching of victory over sin is because it is a miracle, and miracles require belief. You see, it is something that you can't do by yourself. It's a miracle. And we must trust God to be able to do it. And family, let me ask you, can God do it? Do we serve a God that can do it? You see, in John chapter 5, verse 14, just John chapter 5, starting off in verse 5, there is a man that comes to Jesus. Actually, he's sitting at the pool of Bethesda, and he's been there for 38 years. The man has not been able to walk for 38 years. Jesus goes and he heals that man, tells him, rise, take up your bed, and walk. In verse 14, Jesus says something to the man. I'll tell you in a minute. In John chapter 8, there is a woman that is caught in adultery. She is brought before Jesus. Her persecutors are ready to stone her, ready to kill her. But Jesus comes, he saves the day. Two miracles wrought. Jesus, at the end of each miracle, says something. He says, go and do what? Sin no more. You know why he says that? You see, healing to Jesus is easy. That miracle is easy. Saving your relationship and your marriage, that miracle is easy. That's easy to Jesus. That's a piece of cake. But transforming the heart to hate sin, that is the greatest miracle divinity can do. It is the greatest testimony to the world that God exists. By this, will the world know that God exists, that we have love one towards another. That's the greatest miracle, family. You see, in John chapter 3, you're turning there. John chapter 3. This work, Jesus gives it. He kind of gives it a definition. John chapter 3. Jesus is speaking to Nicodemus in John chapter 3. And listen to what he says about this process of conversion. John chapter 3, starting in verse 5, it says, Jesus answered and said, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again." Verse 8, "The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but cannot tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born," guess what, "of the Spirit." You see, you may not be able to figure out the exact time or day of your conversion, brothers and sisters, but rest assured, imperceptibly, God is working on your heart if you do not abandon your trust, your faith. You see, a lot of people say, you know what, I don't know what's going on in my life. I don't even know if I'm saved or not. Brothers and sisters, our job is to trust and believe that the work that God has begun, guess what? He's able to perform it, and he's able to finish it. Listen to this. Conversion as the wind. "The wind is heard among the branches of the trees, rustling the leaves and flowers. Yet it is invisible, and no man knows whence it comes or whither it goes. So with the work of the Holy Spirit upon the heart, it can no more be explained than can the movements of the wind. A person may not be able to tell the exact time or place, or to trace all the circumstances in the process of conversion, but this does not prove him to be unconverted. By an agency as unseen as the wind, Christ is constantly working upon the heart, little by little, perhaps unconsciously to the receiver. Impressions are made that tend to draw the soul to Christ." It says, "These may be received through meditating upon him, through reading the scriptures, or through hearing the word from the living preacher." Amen. "Suddenly, as the Spirit comes with more direct appeal, the soul gladly surrenders itself to Jesus. By many, this is called sudden conversion, but it is the result of a long wooing by the Spirit of God, a patient, protracted process." You see, family, as I speak, even up here, God is moving upon your heart. God is wooing you to continue in the faith. And those of you who have not made a choice to give your heart to God, God is knocking at your heart even today, this morning, saying, "Surrender to me." And God can begin that work that you and I cannot do by ourselves. You see, this is the greatest miracle. This miracle of taking that which is carnal and turning it into something spiritual. We know in the Word of God, in the book of Romans, chapter 8, verse 7, the Bible says that the carnal mind is enmity against God, and is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. This is why a miracle must be done. But as we stated before, and let's read it in your hearing, everyone, please turn to Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6, the Word of God says this. It says, "Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ." Family, in Christ, there's complete victory. The thing is, we must have the faith to believe it, accept it, and press on. You know, when I run, I can't remember the last marathon that I ran. I understand, I get the distance down. I find out if it's going to be a 5K, I find out if I'm going to have to run 13.6 miles, find out if I'm going to have to run over 20 miles. And once I get the distance down, you begin to train. Now, my concern now, praise the Lord, is not necessarily how fast I get there. It's finishing. And I'm learning from a lot of those who are a little bit older than me that says, Joseph, as long as you can finish, praise the Lord, that's a gold medal in my book. So, brothers and sisters, our job is to not give up, not to question God, but to say, Lord, help me to endure to finish the race. How does the Apostle Paul say it? The race is not given to the swift, nor to the strong, but he that endureth until the end. And Jesus says in Matthew chapter 24, that they that endure to the end shall be saved. But the problem is, as Jesus had to clean the earthly temple, within our temples, there's traffic as well. You're turning to Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13. We want to look at verses 3 and 4. Matthew chapter 13, verse 3 and 4. What is it that hinders this wooing of the Spirit, this conversion process? There is something, brothers and sisters, that hinders this. Matthew chapter 13, verses 3 and 4. The word of God says, and he spake many things unto them in parables. This is the parable of the seed and the different soils. Now, the seed represents the word of God, and the soil represents the heart. Let's continue. It says, saying, behold, a sower went forth to sow. Verse 4. And when he sowed some seeds, listen to this first seed. Some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. It wasn't until I looked a little bit closer into what that word wayside meant. And the word wayside was the side that is traveled by many. It is loaded with traffic. Many people walk up and down the wayside road. Now, let us put this together. If you are planting a seed, and you plant that seed on the 178, will that seed grow? There's too much traffic. And in many of us, brothers and sisters, guess what? There's too much traffic in the soul. And it's stomping out the precious seeds and the word of God. Me and Elder Moreland was speaking earlier this morning about, he was telling me about, they did a survey where they asked a bunch of people a particular question. They said, Jesus told Nicodemus what? And I can't remember the three questions, but he said only 14% of the people they asked got it right. We are living in a day and age where Satan has multiplied the traffic in our hearts and in our lives to where many don't even retain, let alone read, the Word of God. And brothers and sisters, if there's no reading of the Word of God, if there's no sowing of the seed, how can there be growth? How can there be conversion? You see, family, there's a city known as New York. We all know New York City. It is known as the city that never was. We are told that in New York, has anybody in here been to New York? By a show of hands. I haven't been there. I'd love to go to visit the museums, but I'm told that New York at nighttime is exactly the same as it is in the daytime. It is so busy. There's traffic everywhere. They said if you go outside 2, 3 in the morning, there's people walking up and down the streets. There is no time to sit still, settle, and hear the voice of God. You see, we are called the last day Elijah. And in our context, that's saying something. Let's find out something. Let's turn to the book of, let's go 1 Kings chapter 19. 1 Kings chapter 19, starting in verse 11. The prophet Elijah running from Jezebel. He had much on his mind. He was frustrated. And he came to a point in his life where God got him by himself. 1 Kings chapter 19, verses 11 and 12, the Bible says, And he said, go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passeth by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains and brake in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after that, the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, what was it, family? A still, small voice. You see, out of all the sights and sounds, out of all of the traffic and noises, God was not caught up in these things, but he was found and heard in a still, small voice. And in the majority of the traffic of many, God is not in much of it. God needs channels, brothers and sisters, that are open and clear, that he may speak to them, that they may go forth and begin this work of building and repairing the breach. Repairing the breach. What breach is there that needs to be repaired? Isaiah chapter 58, our scripture reading. Isaiah chapter 58. Isaiah 58, and we'll read verse 12. Isaiah 58 and verse 12. The word of God says, and they that shall be of thee shall build the old waste places. Thou shalt raise up the foundations of many generations, and thou shalt be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of paths to dwell in. God says that we shall build up the old places. What is this? What is it talking about? That we shall be restorers of the breach. You know, what's interesting is when you keep reading, you discover something in connection with repairing the breach. Isaiah says, we're going to read it over. Isaiah chapter 58, verse 12, it says, and they that shall be of thee shall build the old waste places. Thou shalt raise up the foundations of many generations, and thou shalt be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of paths to dwell in. Verse 13, if thou turn away thy foot from my Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord, honorable, and shall honor him, not doing thine own ways, nor finding thine own pleasure, nor speaking thine own words, then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord, and I will cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth and feed thee with the heritage of Jacob, thy father, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Why is it that immediately after God speaks of repairing the breach, he jumps into the Sabbath? It is because the breach has been made in the law of God. You see, brothers and sisters, God has called this church in existence for a reason. We are called to be repairers of the breach. You see, that breach in the law of God affected not only heaven, but it affected the hearts of men. Because in the hearts of humanity, even today, there is a breach between God and his law. And praise the Lord, Jesus came to replace, to fill, correct that breach. Amen? Amen? You see, this breach, as was said, stated, began long ago. You're turning to Isaiah chapter 14. Isaiah chapter 14. Starting in verse 13, Isaiah chapter 14. Starting in verse 13, you see, Satan caused this breach. Isaiah chapter 14, verse 13, the Bible says, for thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. Verse 14, I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High, yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pits. Who, brothers and sisters, who shall send to bring Christ down? I'm going to repeat that. The Bible says in the book of Romans, it tells us, say not in your heart, who shall ascend into heaven, for that is, to bring Christ down. So when Satan said, I will ascend into heaven, in reality, what he was saying is, I will pull down God. And Satan began by accusing and by falsely speaking of the God that we love and serve, brothers and sisters. You see, God knows and understands this. For in Jeremiah chapter 31, speaking of the new covenant, God says, I will write my law in their inward parts. He says, I want to write my law on your heart. Why? Because there's been a breach, brothers and sisters. You know, in Psalms chapter 48, verses 1 and 2, the Bible says that God's throne is on the side of the north, Zion. It goes on and lets us know that in Psalms chapter 97, verse 1 and 2, that his habitation is a habitation of righteousness and judgment. And that word habitation means foundation. And we find out in Psalms 119, verse 172, that all God's commandments are righteousness. So when Satan attacked the throne of God, he attacked God's foundation. And what is God's foundation? His law. You see, there's been a breach in the law of God, and we are called to be repairers of that breach. So when we as Seventh-day Adventists begin to uplift and uphold God's holy law, drawing people back to remember God's Sabbath, we too are doing a work of repairing that breach. The breach in God's law and the breach in man's hearts. But it's not just a breach in the Ten Commandments, but there was even a breach as stated in heaven. You're turning to Revelation chapter 12 and verse 4. Revelation chapter 12 and verse 4. The word of God says, and his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven, and it cast him to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. In Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 15, we understand that the ancient and honorable, he is the tail. But the prophet that teaches lies, he is the tail. And we understand from Revelation chapter 1 and verse 20 that the stars in this context represent angels. So not only was there a breach in the law of God, there was a breach in the angelic host. Now get this. When God says that we shall be repairers of the breach, literally, we shall be repairers of the breach. You didn't get it. You see, a third of the angels are missing from heaven. There is a breach. So God creates Adam and Eve. And he says, Adam and Eve, be fruitful and what? Multiply and fill the breach. You see, brothers and sisters, God created us to fill the breach that was made in heaven. So we are literally repairers of the breach. It is our job, family, as living stones, to work with Christ in this process of conversion, that he may rightly fit us to fill the breach that has been made in heaven. But before the breach is filled in heaven, the breach of the law of God in our hearts must be repaired. You see, God's word is amazing, isn't it? And Satan is trying with all his might. He says, if I can just keep enough traffic in their heart, if I could keep them focused on things that on their job, if I could keep them focused on the television, if I could keep them focused on the negative situation, if I could keep them focused on things that have nothing to do with the bearing of their salvation, Satan says, it will stamp out that seed that is sown. I will keep their hearts by the wayside. But it is our job as faithful believers to continually sow those seeds, brothers and sisters. But in order to sow that seed, you need to have that seed yourself. Amen. Some of our ground needs to be broken up. Some of us need to do like Jesus did, go into the temple and begin to flip over the money changers. Amen. And we need to go in, and we need to go in with our cord and begin to shoo out those that buy and sell. Because traffic in the soul, it wears down. It wears down the seed, the word of God. You see in the book of Matthew, chapter 22, verse 30, the Bible says, "For in the resurrection," Jesus speaking, "they neither marry nor are given in marriage," speaking of the angels, "but are as the angels of God." In Isaiah chapter 43, verse 7, God says, "I created man for my glory." And in Luke chapter 15, verse 10, the Bible says, "There is rejoicing in heaven over one sinner that repented." What does all this mean? Is that God is working to repair the breach that has been made in heaven. But what if the people that God has created and called to repair the breach begins to work opposite of God? And instead of repairing the breach, add to the breach and begin to tear it down. You see, family, we can either cooperate and help build, or as Paul puts it, we can crucify the Son of God afresh. You are either building with God or you are making the breach bigger. You see, Satan has continued this breach. When you turn to Daniel chapter 7 and verse 25, please get there. Daniel chapter 7 and verse 25. What he started in heaven, he picked it up down here. Daniel 7, 25, the word of God says, "And he shall speak great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to do what? Change times and what? Laws." You see, Satan understands that if a kingdom's foundation is breached, it is only a matter of time before the kingdom falls. And are we not aware of what took place this past October on the 31st, when supposed Protestantism is done away with? But family, can I tell you something? Protestantism will be here until Jesus comes. Amen. For as long as God has a faithful, believing people, there will be someone to protest against that which is not truthful, against that which is not right. Family, we must protest against the breach that has been made in the law of God. We are told to remember the Sabbath day, to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor, but on the seventh day is the day that we rest and we spend time with God and we give him those wonderful, lovely hours. And by doing that, by upholding his law, family, we are slowly repairing that breach. You see, God calls us and asks us to work in cooperation with him. But he also tells us about this temple of David. Turning back to Amos chapter 9, verse 11. The word of God says, "In that day will I raise up the tabernacle of David that is fallen, and close up the breaches thereof," excuse me, "and I will raise up his ruins, and I will build it as in the days of old." Now, when I read that verse, something caught me there too. Did David build the temple? He didn't. And then I asked the question, why was not David allowed to build the temple? The Bible says that he was a bloody man. What kind of man was he? He was a bloody man. Therefore, he could not build the temple of God. You're turning in your Bibles to the book of Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 18. Starting in verse 18. Ezekiel chapter 3, starting in verse 18. The word of God says, "When I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning, nor speakest to warn the wicked from his wicked way to save his life, the same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand. You see, family, if we do not teach, preach, and uphold the message that God has given us, we will have blood on our hands. And what does that mean? We will not be counted worthy to join in the last day building work of repairing the breach. You see, this message that God has given us, it is a message of hope. It is a saving message. It is a three angels message. It is a helping message. I repeat this message by the grace of God. Open my eyes. This message placed joy into my heart. This message freed me from a life of sin and iniquity. This message is of so importance, brothers and sisters, that we should have a heart to want everyone to know it. Amen? The Bible says there is no peace for the wicked. And many out there are unaware that God's law is still binding. Many are unaware what even the definition of sin actually is. But God has called upon you to be a repairer of the breach. God is asking you to tell your friends, your neighbors, your co-workers, will you work with God? Will you be a repairer of the breach? In order to do so, you must do so with the Word of God in your hand, led by the Spirit of God. You must take out time to spend it with God. You must allow the wooing power of the Holy Spirit to continue the work of conversion in your life. And we must put away all traffic from us, that we may do the work that God has called us to do. In Revelation chapter 14, the Bible says of the 144,000 that they are virgins, and they follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. You see, these 144,000, they have the Word of God. They have freed their heart of traffic. And they follow our heavenly foreman in the reconstructing of God's breach that has been made in the law. If it's your desire to work with God as a repairer of the breach, I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet right now. We have all been called to be repairers of the breach, family. And that breach that was made in God's law, the breach that was made in heaven. Praise the Lord. Doesn't it bring joy to your heart to understand that God is going to fill that breach with people like you and I? Amen. I can't wait for that day, family, when we look into the face of God and we all can cast our crown, at his feet and say, thank you, thank you, thank you. Family, let's get to work. Let's repair the breach.